Well, did you enjoy watching the wedding then? There were some rather strange things said in the commentary, I have to say. And the social media are full of people like me going, why did they say that? That wasn't quite right. One of the stranger things I heard after one of the commentators had talked about all the things that were different about Harry and Meghan's wedding from other royal weddings was, well, some things are still the same. The service had to be conducted by the Archbishop of Canterbury. And I thought, well, that's a bit rough, really, because it's almost as if you keep an Archbishop of Canterbury in the cupboard, and whenever there's a royal wedding, you sort of open it and you let him out. I suppose what the commentator was trying to say was there is that kind of continuity from generation to generation. And yes, whenever you look at those old engravings of royal weddings from even centuries ago, there is an Archbishop of Canterbury. And there is something about, especially the Church of England, that makes us think quite a lot about heritage. You've been celebrating your big anniversary here at St. Barnabas. Of the Grade 1 listed buildings in England, I think it's 45% of them are parish churches. We have an immense amount of heritage of which we are the stewards. Sometimes that can take up a lot of people's time and energy and their love. And yes, that heritage is something that we have been given. But today, Pentecost, is the day that is the antidote to thinking that that is really what we are about. For all that we respect the heritage that we look after, and those things like Archbishops of Canterbury that continue from generation to generation, we are celebrating here on the day of Pentecost the way that God works towards the world in a very particular and a very special way. Christians do not believe in a God who, as it were, created the world and then just sent it away to tick like a clock. We believe in a God who got involved in his world in that unique and wonderful way that we can scarcely begin to understand, the birth and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Yes, our faith is rooted in things that actually happened before people's eyes. If we believe that God incarnate walked the earth, then there were people, ordinary people like you and me, who heard the voice of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus rose and ascended, God did not, as it were, abandon his world. In Matthew's gospel, we read how Jesus said that he would be with his followers to the end of the age. Those are not the words of a God who abandons his people. And in Luke's volume 1, his gospel, and volume 2, the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how Jesus promised that the disciples would be clothed with power from on high. And then, as we heard in our first reading, there was that extraordinary event when God, the Holy Spirit, took hold of those first followers of Jesus, filled them and changed them. Why? Because they had a job to do. Because God and particularly today we think God the Holy Spirit is active in his world. Sometimes people have said of Pentecost that it's the birthday of the church. I've never found that language tremendously useful, I have to say, because it concentrates on the church. Whereas actually today we are concentrating on the Holy Spirit. This is a day of worship of God, not a day of commemoration of something to do with the organization, much though we may love it. And when we hear that account of the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have to hear the sharp edge to it. We have to hear how in that speech that Peter made, he dealt with the fact that Jesus had been put to death, yes, by God's plan, but by wicked people. And Peter's speech has to do with the coming of God's judgment and God's righteousness and the way that things are when God, as it were, puts the world the right way up. This is the language of God in power working among his people. This is why the Christian faith is not to do with people coming together in order to enjoy stories about the past, even if we do rejoice in that history. But we are not here simply to commemorate past events. We are here today, I hope, because we are open to that which is startling and life-changing, in one sense even dangerous. Because this Feast of Pentecost is not about us coming together to congratulate ourselves about our faith or the way that the church is. Today is a day of coming together in the way that those first followers of Jesus did, not knowing what the future holds, except that it is directed by the Spirit of God. And when those people from different places around the Mediterranean heard the great things of God, the word and the works of God, heard them in their own language, that's something that has to speak to us very powerfully, because it is too easy for the church to get stuck in a particular culture. It is too easy for us to narrowcast, to talk to people like ourselves, to gather people like ourselves, to enjoy company of the people that, yes, we might enjoy a day out with. That is not the Christian faith. That is not evangelism, and it is not being the agents of good news. Because Pentecost is not a day of narrowcast, but a day of broadcast. Pentecost is a time when we have to hear that first story of the gift of the Holy Spirit in terms of God opening this message to people who were in many ways not like those first disciples, those first followers. And if this church, I don't just mean St. Barnabas, I mean the universal church, the worldwide church, and yes, our national church, if this church is to do the work of God, then it is not for us to try and conform people to our way of doing things, but to be alert to the ways in which there are so many people who are interested in spiritual things, but who have not yet found their way or been led into that interest in spiritual things being brought to a focus in the love of God for his world, supremely in the person of Jesus Christ, and for people, those people, to find the meaning of their life in him. That's the exciting adventure of which those first followers of Jesus were to be the agents. And of that we are invited to be agents too. That's why today is not a day of dull conformity. And it's not a day of simply wishing that things would stay the same. It's a day of openness, a day of prayer, a day of hoping with that real confidence that God will involve us in his mission. Sometimes we find it easy to speak of God the Father and easy to speak and to picture God the Son. Sometimes Christians are a little bit foggy, shall we say, about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have something in our heads that feels as if the Holy Spirit is a thing that God sends, but isn't actually God himself. That won't do, because if we really are Trinitarian Christians, if we really do believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, then we will believe in the Holy Spirit as a person of the Holy Trinity who directs his church, who is active in the world, who can take us and use us and change us, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Yes, if we dare, that's what we say, and it's what we pray.